for instruction. We go through this life with at 100 miles an hour, at almost light speed, and things are getting faster, and we want things quicker, and yet we get caught up in that speed and pass you right by. And pray that for this moment, for this time, that we will stop, that our minds will slow down, and that we can absorb what you have for us. Lord, use me and what you've given me, that it might be your words and not mine. We pray for your Spirit's presence and filling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this last week has been quite a week for us. And then we've been aware of and brought aware of so much that's been going on in the last week or two that that just is reminding us of the pressure that is on the church and on believers. In fact, I have felt, and I believe others have felt it too, that there is more pressure on the church and on believers than ever before. I don't ever remember feeling so much pressure about the choices that I make and the belief and the faith that I have, and challenging that back when I was a kid and all the way up to this point, you know. But I have seen, and I think you have too, the climate of the world and this time that we are living in is at a new height of pressure and temptation. In fact, I believe that Satan is on the rampage because he believes that time is short also. And he wants nothing more than to destroy Christians. He wants to destroy the mission of the church. And that mission being sharing the gospel with others, bringing others into the kingdom of God. Jesus said that in the last days, in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, it would be just like that in the last days. And so when you think about the days of Noah, you know, we all are familiar with it, that people were marrying and giving in marriage, but it was more than that. In fact, the quote out of 6:11, Genesis 6:11, was, "The earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence." Well, it sounds a little bit like today. Then in Genesis 18:20, it says this about Sodom and Gomorrah: "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that he sent angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And in Noah's time, saving Noah and his family, he flooded the earth and started over. Now, Satan, he looks for the weak. He looks for the hurting. He looks for the discouraged. He looks for anyone who will give him a foothold. In fact, I want us to go to that scripture, 1 Peter 5:8-9. And I'm sorry I don't have a page number for you. Last night I preached, of course, this sermon. And after that sermon, I sat down and Kathy and I talked about it a little bit, and realized that there was something missing out of it. And there are several scriptures that I incorporated into this one today that was not in last night. And I failed to get the page number. So 1 Peter 5:8, 1851. All right. Do I have 1852? No. 1 Peter 5:8-9. And you know, Jesus, or Peter, talking here, he says in verse 8, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So, the first thing that you come to, of course, is be self-controlled and alert. And that's what we all need to be, self-controlled and alert. And the next thing you see is he says, your enemy, the devil. It's not, you know, this individual who is resisting you or doesn't like what you're doing. It's not this guy that doesn't like you. This is an enemy. And in military terminology, that means this individual wants to kill you. That's really what an enemy is. The enemy wants to do you harm and extinguish you. And so it says here to be self-controlled and alert, which is what any military man would be. You know, I know many of the guys that when I served, I got to go to Germany. Some of my friends went to Vietnam. And when they got back and were able to talk about it, even when you slept, you didn't sleep. Because at any moment, mortars would fly over your hut and would explode, and they had to run for cover. My son in Iraq, same thing. He said at one point they climbed up on a roof just to kind of look over the city, and they heard something hitting the side of the building. And they looked over the side of the building, and it was bullets hitting the side of the building. So they decided they'd better get off the roof. There was no time to take a break, no time to rest, no time to, you know, let's just sit back and enjoy the sunshine and have a little R&R. The enemy does not give up or rest. And this enemy, for sure, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Satan's looking for those who are weak, tired, discouraged, who have given up just a little bit. It doesn't have to be much. But just a little bit, kind of setback. And I think as a church, I believe that we don't really take it serious that we're in a battle. In fact, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, another one that I did not get a page number for. But 2 Corinthians, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 17:56. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says here, you know, Paul writing now, and he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And he goes on and talks about we don't preach ourselves but Jesus. Now, what he's saying here is he's saying, you know, Satan is blown a bunch of smoke, a fog over this world. And we as Christians, we know what's ahead. We have the Bible that gives us directions. It's like following a map, and we did that on our trip. We followed a map. We had the map on our the cell phone, you know, and that's kind of cool because it even tells you when there's an accident ahead or when there's construction or the road is blocked. It tells you all kinds of things. And so we're well aware of, as we're traveling, what's ahead. And the Bible is our guide as Christians. And when Satan blows the smoke in, when the fog comes in, and it's like, oh man, I don't know what's ahead. I'm going through this illness. I'm going through this trial in my life. I don't know what's ahead. And Jesus says, read the scripture. God says, trust me. And we read about the future, and we read about our lives and how He cares for us and to cast our cares on Him. And He tells us what the future holds. And that the future holds, it's, you know, the rapture, of course, taking us out, but then there's the tribulation, a 7-year period, and it's going to be a horrible time. It tells us about what's coming, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines. And it tells us all these things. And if we trust Him, and if we believe in Him, we realize that, you know what, Satan, you can't blind my eyes because I know what's coming. And I know your end. But to the unbelievers or the individuals, even believers who have let their faith go, who've gotten weak or discouraged, and they kind of get blinded, and now they set the Bible off to the side and they're not reading it anymore, and they're giving up on the faith that has so guided them all through their life, and all of a sudden, well, we don't know what's going on. And then they believe Satan's lie that says, you know, God doesn't care about you. You know, just give it up. Just let go. And there are believers hanging on by that thread. And they're following a lifestyle that has completely eliminated them from the kingdom of God, other than maybe their salvation. No longer are they doing what God wants them to do by reaching out to others, sharing the gospel with them, bringing others to Christ, but they are now useless believers. Laid up in the spiritual hospital and completely rendered useless. Satan is disrupting families. He's disrupting churches. He's disrupting whole cities, just as he did in Noah's day and in Lot's day. The wickedness of this world is reaching new heights. Heights that I have not seen in my lifetime. And I've lived a long time. You know, so what are we called to do? In James chapter 4, I want you to go there. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and starting verse 7. She's getting there. After Hebrews. Starting verse 7. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Well, that seems so contrary to what the world tries to preach to us. The world preaches to us, lift yourself up. Nobody else is going to do it. You are number one, the big cheese, the top dog, numero uno, all those different things that try to put you up on the pedestal, that you are the one that you got to take care of. That you can't look to anybody else's benefit because it's me, me, me. And that's what you see in this world today. It's all about me, what I can get. I mean, our young people today, sorry young people, but our young people today have no clue what it's like to think about somebody else. They're being raised, a new generation being raised to just focus on themselves and what they can get out of life. Back in the Depression, you know, some of you older ones remember that. I wasn't quite that old. But some of you remember that time where a dime bought you a whole meal. Amen. You know, people helped one another because you were scraping and scrapping just to survive. And we have never, our life in this United States, we've not gone through those kinds of things since that time. But you know why? It's because our government keeps printing money that they don't have. This country, we know, is in trillion-dollar debt. Multi-trillion-dollar debt. There is no way that anyone in this country can pay that debt off. It said that our what each person in the United States owes, if we were to pay the debt off, is something in the 60-some thousand-dollar range. Each person in the United States. Man, woman, and child. So the debt is way over our heads. There's no way we can do this. But you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is what you believe. What matters is where you're at with Jesus Christ. Submit yourself. And you know what the problem is? The problem is we're walking around in this world like we got all the time in the world. And we don't. We're walking around like we're top dog. And it says here, humble yourselves, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, grieve, mourn, and wail. We should be in sorrow over our country because of what is happening and what our country is participating in. It says here to humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves. Get on your knees and humble yourselves before God. Stay close to Jesus. There are plenty of temptations in this world, I want to tell you. And we all know it. If you haven't fallen to some of those temptations, boy, I would think you're pretty close to Jesus. Pretty close to that perfect person. We've all fallen to some temptation or another. Satan wants to take you down. We need to be strong. It is a battle. Satan knows it. You know, it's like we've been in war with ISIS, you know, with Islam. And they are in that war, but we refuse to call it a war as a country. We say, well, we just don't want to deal with it, you know. And so we won't call it that. And we're, as Christians, we're in the same thing. Satan knows it's a battle. God tells us it's a battle. And we refuse to acknowledge it. We're saying, oh, no, I'm living my life. I'm having a good time. I'm, you know, on fire. Let's do this. Let's do that. Life is good. I'm getting higher up in my career. And that's all great. And the battle's going on all around you, and people are dying and going to hell, and people are suffering and not knowing what to do, and we're like, you know, well, yeah, that's their problems. I don't want to get involved. If Satan can disable you and knock you out of your faith, one more is off the roster. One more casualty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in your Bibles. It gives us a warning. Paul warns us because this is one of the greatest temptations there is. I'm going to read verse 19 first. So I want you to catch this. This is a key verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. If you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus inside of you. Now, in context, it talks about sexual immorality. And I want to tell you, that's one of the strongest temptations we have in this world today. It's all over the computers. You can access it on a phone now. You can access it anywhere and anytime. And it doesn't cost you a thing. Be totally free. And the problem is that if you've gone on Facebook, which I know most of you probably have, if you've gone on search for any kind of situation, if you've even looked at an article that might be of interest to you, on the side panels is the kinds of pictures that are just ridiculous. Many times we'll look at the things, you know, things together on Facebook, an article or whatever, and Kathy go, oh my goodness. You know, and we try to scroll past or get away from that kind of a picture. Those who are weak in their faith, those who are struggling, they may not click past that. The temptations are humongous. They're overwhelming at times. Whole civilizations have been brought down by sexual immorality. Did you know that? Rome was one of them. Because of their immorality, it finally took the city down. You are the temple of God. You were bought with a price. We are to live for Jesus Christ. When people look at you, what will they see? They see a follower of Jesus or a train wreck? What do they see? It's time to put away sin. We're going to take communion. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about communion. And I just want to read a couple of those verses before we get to that point. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, it says, therefore, he talks about communion. Paul is talking about, you know, this is how you eat and this is how you drink the bread, you know, the bread and the cup. And this is what you do, and Jesus said, this is my body, etc., etc. And then he says, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. What does that mean? It means that we need to recognize that he died for us. And that we are bought with a price and we have eternal life if we believe in Jesus as our Savior. And we are representatives. We are his temple. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. And by examining ourselves, we examine ourselves and say, you know, boy, Lord, how have I done? You know, show me things that I need to improve. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I'm sorry about that. I will not do that again. I'm going to stay away from that. And if it means throwing a computer away, throw it away. If it means not getting any magazine subscriptions again, don't get them. Because it's a serious battle that we're in. Now I want to read a little farther on this because he says, for anyone, in verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. And when he says weak and sick, it means that when you continue to ignore God's prodding, his discipline, his desire to build you up and to correct the things in your life that you're following, that you're going down that wrong pathway and he's trying to redirect you, you continue to do that and you ignore all those proddings and pokings and take communion and continually represent Jesus in a sinful manner, you will all of a sudden be disciplined. Now he will use weakness, he'll use sickness. Now I'm not saying that everybody who's weak and sick is in sin. But I would be checking my heart. If I started feeling weak and I had some issues going on, but a year ago I had some issues going on, and I'm telling you what, I was searching. I was asking God, is there something you're trying to tell me? There's something I need to work on. What do I need to do, Lord? And I begin to do some soul searching. That's exactly what God does. You sometimes you don't look up until you're flat on your back. Right? So I want to tell you that some are weak and sick. And you know what? Before God would allow you to be condemned with the rest of the world, he will take you out. Why do I say that? Continue. Some have fallen asleep, verse 31. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. That's the last thing God wants to have happen in our lives. It's for us to be standing before God and him say, you left me. Now, if you're a Christian, you believe in Him, and you really have given your life to Him, the Scripture tells us there's a security of salvation. But that comes with that discipline. Because remember it said, you're bought with a price, you're not your own? That means that when you step across the line, God will discipline you, just like a good parent will. And He will discipline you until you listen. And if you refuse to listen, He'll take you out. But that's because you belong to God, and He will do with you as He sees fit, because He loves you. He doesn't want you to be condemned. Jesus died for you. This is what communion is. Jesus died for you, but you know what? Satan wants you to die for him. You get that? Jesus died for you, but Satan, he wants you to die for him. Don't let that happen. I want us to have a word of prayer as we examine ourselves before these elements are passed out. Father, we come before you examining ourselves. We're looking inwardly. Lord, as we search our hearts, and I pray that you reveal those things inside of us that are not right. Things that you've been nudging us about. Maybe we're weak. Maybe we're going through some kind of illness, and you've been trying to use that to show us. And we're ignoring your Spirit. Lord, right now, use your Spirit to show us. And Lord, as your Spirit enlightens us, that we humble ourselves, that our joy is turned to mourning because we are failing. We need you in our lives. We need your strength. We need your Spirit. Lord, come to us. Cover those sins with your blood. Make us new creatures, forgiven, to stand firm, to draw close to you, and that the devil will flee. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this part of our service as we go to communion, as we remember Jesus' death on that cross and His gift to us. We pray your blessings on it now in Jesus' name. Amen.